We're going to look at the question, is Jesus God? And that's a good question. A lot of people will ask that question and wonder, well, you know, was Jesus really God, or was he just a man? Was he a prophet? You know, that's what the woman at the well, she said, oh, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. What was he really? Was he just a man? Was he just a good man and a good teacher? Now, that's what a lot of the people in the world want to say. Well, you know, Jesus, he taught some good moral lessons, but we don't have to do everything he says. We just take what we like from his teaching. But of course, if he's God, then that paints that in a whole different light, doesn't it? You don't get to just take and pick and choose what you like if he really is divine, if he's deity. And it's important for us to answer this question, first of all, because if he is not deity, he is not divine, then we are guilty of worshiping a false god. We worship Jesus, don't we? We sing praises to his name. We preach and teach about him. We remember his death in the communion service. We worship him. Well, if he's not God, we're in trouble, because we're worshiping a false god. And the God made it very clear that we weren't to have any other gods before him. No other gods besides him. So it's an important question for us to answer and to have the right answer to. If he was just a prophet like Moses, then we could still teach the things he taught, but boy, we couldn't worship him. We couldn't lift him up and revere him, because reverence like that belongs only to God. So it's important for us to answer this question. Secondly, of course, if he is not divine, Christianity is a sham. It's all make-believe. It's just smoke and mirrors. And there's nothing more to it than that. If Jesus is not divine, Christianity is just a sham. You see, Jesus must be one of four things. He must be either the God-man, God in the flesh. And we spent the class time this morning in Quitman talking and studying about the humanity of Jesus, because his humanity is just as important as his deity as far as our salvation is concerned. Because if he wasn't a man, then he didn't come and live a perfect life and die the atoning death. Because if he wasn't a man, he couldn't die. So that part's important as well. But he's either the God-man, God in the flesh, both God and man, or he's a madman, he's just crazy. You know, in insane asylums all over this country, you can find people who think they're God. They think they're divine. They're crazy. They're not. Well, some people say Jesus was crazy. They say he wasn't really God. He just made it all up and was deluded. Or third, maybe some people might say, well, he's just a mythical man. He never really exists. He's kind of like Robin Hood and King Arthur. It's a nice legend, but he's not a real person. Or fourth, he's a bad man. He's a liar. He knows he's not God, but he was out to try to trick people on purpose. Now, do you notice what's missing in those four things? See, God, man, madman, mythical man, bad man. You know what's missing? A good man or a prophet? It's not in that list. And we're going to see why when we get to the close of this lesson. We're going to see why that's not one of the four possibilities for things that he could be. That's the one that everybody wants him to be. Everybody wants him to be a good man who was a prophet and a teacher and who had some wise things to say. That's not one of the possibilities. So basically, we either have to say he was God in the flesh, or else he was worthless, or he didn't exist at all, which is even worse than worthless. Well, the Bible paints a picture of Jesus that's very different from the one painted by modern man. First of all, we see throughout the Bible that Jesus is called God and never denies it. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 8 through 9, he is called God by the Father. Well, who would know better how to identify God than God? I mean, most of us, we'd be pretty good at telling the difference, say, in a human being and a horse. We can tell the difference. This is a person, this is a human being, that's a horse. We can tell the difference. Well, God, I would think, would be pretty good at being able to tell his own kind and know the difference. Okay, I'm God, he's God. They're angels. Those are people. Especially considering that he made everything else, he'd know better than the rest of us how to determine whether someone was God or not. And he himself said to the Son, "Thy throne, O God, is forever." So the Father seems to think that the Son is God. Doesn't that make sense? If the Father is God, then the Son is God. If the Father is human, the Son is human. If the Father is a dog, the Son is a dog. If the Father is a cow, the Son would be a cow as well, a bull. If the Father was a fish, then the Son would be a fish. Well, that's the way that works. So if the Father, who is God, says, "Hey, Son, you're God," well, who's going to doubt him? It's his Son. He should know. Isaiah, by inspiration, calls him God. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a child is given. Government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father." But he says he's going to be called Mighty God. That child, that prophecy, 900 years before Jesus ever came along, Isaiah, by inspiration, calls him God in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. He was to be called Emmanuel by the people. Matthew 1:23 says, "He shall be called Emmanuel." So we said, well, so what? What's that got to do? What's his name got to do with it? Well, what does Emmanuel mean? Emmanuel means God with us. God with man. That's what he was called. That was his name that was given. He was called God with us. Well, you say, well, all of those don't apply because Jesus wasn't there when those things were said or written or whatever. Okay? Thomas, the Apostle Thomas, often called Doubting Thomas, somewhat unfairly, I might add. I don't think he doubted any more than the rest of the apostles. He said, "I won't believe until I see him that he's resurrected." Well, the other apostles didn't believe until they saw him. So he didn't doubt any more than the rest of them. But Thomas called him God to his face in John chapter 20 and verse 28. Let's turn over there and take a look at that. John 20 and verse 28. After Thomas sees him and puts his finger in his hand where the nails had been, puts his hand in the side where the spear had been, Thomas believes then, and Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Well, wait a minute. No, wait. No, don't be calling me God. There's only one God, and that's not me." And that's not what my Bible says. In verse 29, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus didn't condemn Thomas or correct Thomas for calling him God. Quite on the contrary, Jesus said, blessed are you. Blessed are those who haven't seen me and believe that I'm God. You've seen me and you believe, good. But blessed are those who haven't seen me and yet they believe that I'm God, that I'm Lord. He's called God on several occasions by other apostles. In Colossians 2:9 and in Romans 5:9, Paul refers to him as God, as divine. In 2 Peter 1:1, Peter refers to him as divine. And in 1 John 5 and verse 20, John refers to him as being God. So here we have at least three other apostles in addition to Thomas, who are calling him God. And none of them are condemned. None of them are corrected for that. Nathanael also, when Nathanael first met Jesus in John chapter 1 and verse 49, he recognized him as the Son of God, the King of Israel. So there's another of the apostles. We often call Nathanael by another name. We call him Bartholomew. But he also, one of the apostles. So we have now no less than five apostles who have said, he's God. Now either all these folks were really confused, or else they believed and Jesus had given them reason to believe that he was God. And yet still today you have a lot of people who say, he was a good man, he was a prophet, but no, he wasn't God. Secondly, we see though that Jesus is worshipped as God and never rejects that worship, never corrects those who worship him. Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10 says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. So Jesus Himself in Matthew 4:10 says, worship only God. You serve only God. And yet, He received worship. Good men, which is people try to put Jesus in that category, oh, He was a good man. Good men refused to be worshipped. Look at Peter in Acts chapter 10 and verses 25 and 26. When he went to the household of Cornelius, Peter came in, Cornelius fell down to worship at his feet. What did Peter do? He immediately got him up and said, oh, no, not me, I'm just a man like you. That's what good men do when somebody tried to worship them. They didn't accept the worship. They pointed the worship in the right direction. They pointed them to worship God. But good men refused to be worshipped. Angels refused to be worshipped. In the book of Revelation, John fell down at the feet of the angel to worship. Now you'd think that John would have known better. But he was, I'm sure, in quite a bit of shock over all of the things that he was seeing. I can only imagine what that would be like. But the angel got him back to his feet and said, worship God. We both worship God. You don't worship me, worship God. And so, good men refused to be worshipped. Angels refused to be worshipped. Bad men would accept worship. Herod, it's the voice of the God and not of the man. Herod didn't say, oh no, don't say things like that about me. Herod was eating it up. Oh yeah, they think I'm God. You remember what God did to him, don't you? It says he was struck with worms, and the worms ate him, and he died on the spot. Now oddly enough, Jesus accepted worship. People worshiped Jesus, and no worms ate him. He wasn't struck dead. Herod was, Jesus wasn't. God must have viewed the two of them differently from heaven, didn't he? Because he punished one, but he didn't punish the other. We see people worship Jesus in Matthew 2 and verse 11, chapter 8 and verse 2, chapter 9 and verse 18, chapter 14 and verse 33, chapter 15 and verse 25, chapter 28 and verse 9 and verse 17, and John chapter 9 and verse 38. I imagine we could probably find some other passages if we really tried. But isn't that enough to show that people worship Jesus? Let's just look at Matthew 15:25. Here the Canaanite woman comes to Jesus. She wants him to heal her daughter who is being troubled by a demon. Jesus tries to send her away. He says, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Verse 25, then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Jesus didn't correct her. He didn't say, oh, don't worship me, only worship God. That's what Peter did when somebody tried to worship him. That's what the angel did when someone tried to worship him. But Jesus just accepted that worship like it was perfectly natural and perfectly normal and perfectly right for her to be doing that. Never corrected it, never rejected it. And the other passages are similar to that. What's more, angels worshiped him. Angels. Angels from heaven worshiped him. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 6. Not only did the angels worship him, and we said, well, the angels worshiped the devil too, some of them, and they were kicked out of heaven because they worshiped the devil instead of worshiping God. They obeyed the devil and went with him and fought against God. Yes, that's true. The difference here is in what is said in the Word of God. Look at verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. God allowed the angels to worship Jesus.